It's time to talk tech. Shall we do it? I've got a few questions today for our tech guru. Now, look, if you have a problem with something tech-wise and you would like to get an answer, you can email us and Lee Stark will answer your question, just like he's about to next.
Tech Talk with Lee Stark.
There we go. Good morning, Lee Stark.
Morning, mate. No pressure for me.
No pressure whatsoever. I've got a few questions this morning.
Okay.
I have. So let's see how we go. Jane said, with all the talk at the moment about raising the age for social media, she said, I might add, I agree. I've told my child they're not to have a social media account. However, I recently found out they had a secret one. Is there any way to block teens from creating accounts in secret, especially when they are often more tech savvy than us older people?
Technically, no, but there are things you can do to mitigate, absolutely, especially if you've supplied the device to your kids. So if the device is like an iPad or an Android or basically a smartphone or a tablet, you can install Family Link for Google or set up a family account as part of your iTunes or Apple account, and that will allow you to basically designate the apps they're allowed to install. Basically, any time they install an app, it has to be approved by a parent or guardian. You can also designate when they're allowed to use it, set up controls, basically limits if they go past a certain time for using an app or generally just using a device. Actually, it can lock them out, provided you don't have a very easy-to-guess PIN. So obviously, don't give them your PIN to the device or to your account. And you can technically, using those sorts of family links, you can actually block websites from loading in things like Safari and Chrome. So if you're a little bit concerned that they might be running it in secret because they've got the app, make sure to go into your settings and their settings on their phone, grab their phone or their tablet, and make sure that the family connection is set up. You can do it on computers as well. It's much easier to do on a Mac than it is a Windows PC, because when you connect their accounts, like say to an email address that you create for them to your email address as a home, it does that. It makes that connection on a Mac. On a Windows PC, it's a little bit difficult, but you can set it up as a part of a Chrome account if they're using Chrome browser. It's much easier on a phone or a tablet. It's probably worth pointing out that if your kid has a secret social account, they're probably not using it on a website, on a computer. They're more than likely definitely using it on a phone or a tablet, because that is the currency that most generations use for social networking. So the suggestion I would have to prevent this, if you're worried about this, is to set up family connections. Basically, make sure that you are the parent in that account. And that's okay. They can actually grow with it. It's a perfect way for teenagers and kids to grow using computers, because you're aware of what they're doing whenever they install things, and you can actually proactively block websites if you want to, mostly so you can have a talk about it. That's one of the reasons we actually suggest.
Limiting children to social media until the age of 16, whilst it sounds like a great idea, the practice of actually pulling it off for mum and dad looks as though it is going to be a nightmare, particularly in reference to what you just said. If they do have a secret account, they won't be looking on their iPad or their computer. They'll be using their phone. And let's face it, most kids have a phone these days.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in agreement personally with the banks. I think there are better ways of doing it. But I do agree with some aspects of how it's rolling out. Instagram, for instance, just rolled out a mechanism to pick up on whether someone had a teen account. There have been some absolute false flags. I got a call from ABC Adelaide at one point saying that a business had accidentally been locked out because someone's kid basically confirmed their age on the business account, and so it locked out their account. So there are some false flags, but the system's got some interesting AI that it's using, whereby it's picking up on whether an account has been effectively lied to create the account. So you can create, and anyone can create an account without having age ID at the moment, but a long-term likely approach for Meta will be to require ID to basically say you are over the age of 16, over the age of 18, and that's just a driver's license or a passport. They're using some interesting AI to say, you're looking at these accounts that basically say you clearly are a kid. You know, they're probably kitschy, basically cartoony sort of accounts or music, and that sort of information tells them that you're under a certain age, and they'll create a teenage account for you that has basically a whole bunch of limitations applied until a parent is connected with it. So social networking sites are coming up with solutions that can actually help parents in this way, but the family connection is a way around this, simply because at that point you can begin to actually have conversations with your kids about what apps are important, how to actually talk with them through it. I personally like the idea of I know kids and teenagers hate this, of having your parents as your friend or even just connected on that social account, if only so they can see what you're doing, because there's a lot of mistrust in social and in general, trying to get around that, trying to get parents up to date with technology is important when there's a conversation being had.
Very true, because as Jane says in her question, a lot of kids are much more tech savvy than mum and dad.
Yeah, and they will be. They'll continue that way simply because that's what they're growing up with. I honestly might be a tech guy, but I'm genuinely expecting my 7-year-old to outgrow my knowledge in a few years without any problems, simply because they're growing up with it, and we've grown up with it as well, but in a different way. They're literally growing up with it. There's no way around it. Most kids have never seen like old school media. When my daughter found a tape, she had no idea what it was. Everything is digital these days, so they're growing up with it. But that conversation between your kids, it should be open between you and your kids about what technology is, because nothing should be off limits as far as I'm concerned. If you've got questions for them, they can have questions for you, and you can actually have an active conversation to improve things.
Bruce says, you previously mentioned this, but I've missed it. What's the telephone number to check my phone for the 3G shutdown?
Oh, gosh, it's been so long since I've actually done this. Well, you shouldn't really... I mean, you've got a couple weeks to kind of get this right. Give me one second. It's been a while since I've done this.
This is called multi-skilling, and the idea is I take over for a while and talk about things to give Lee the opportune time to get the number.
I've got it. It's you text the number 3... to 3498. Sorry, it's been a while since I've been asked this question. It's actually it's a timely reminder, actually, because the extension for the 3G shutdown was basically now until roughly the end of October or October 28th. So you've basically got 3-4 weeks to get this right. And I doubt they're going to extend it again. It's already been extended about 3-4 times at this point. So text the number 3 to 3498. It works on Optus. It works on Telstra. If you're on Vodafone, you've already been cut off 3G, so it doesn't matter. You're fine. You should be fine. A lot of people should be fine at this point, but it can still affect modern devices. For instance, certain devices that were imported from outside of Australia have this problem largely because they don't default to the 4G network when they try to make emergency phone calls. They go to the 3G one, and that has to do with how they were set up for overseas devices.
So say it again. You text the number 3 to what number?
3498.
3498. So you text to the number 3498, the number 3. That's all you
do. That's all you do. You write, you send a message on your phone to the receiver 3498, and all you do is text number 3, just the number 3. You wait a minute or two, and a telco provider on Telstra or Optus, or one of the providers that uses Telstra or Optus, they'll send back a message after about between 20 seconds and a minute, usually. It can be a little bit slower. It will tell you basically the device you're on and if there's a risk that you need to upgrade. If there is, you've got 4 weeks to do it. Basically, buy any new device that you can and upgrade.
Gail says, here's one for your tech guru, Lee Stark. How do you clean out the sockets, the charging sockets, of your tablet or your iPhone or your Android phone? In other words, she's got here iPhone or iPad, but it could be both. It doesn't have to be an Apple product. It could be an Android product as well. So I suppose the question is, Lee, how do you clean out those charging sockets? Because they do tend to fill with gunk, and sometimes it means that you can't charge those devices because of the gunk in those sockets.
Very carefully. I like to use basically a small bit of plastic if I can. Basically, I use a headphone cleaning tool, which is basically just nylon bristles to get in there. Ideally, the best solution, this sounds ridiculous, is to actually take it to a phone repairer or an Apple store, just make an appointment if you've got an iPhone or an iPad there, largely because A lot of the solutions people, I've seen people put glue inside of it. It's a bad idea because if you don't set up the glue properly, it won't actually dislodge. I've seen people use a vacuum cleaner. It doesn't work as well because it there's a risk that you could dislodge the actual connections that are in there. If your phone is waterproof, you can technically wash that section out, but it's again still not a great idea. The best solution I found is to grab something like a thin plastic, sort of like a business card that you can, like, or even a business card, a credit card or something that you can cut the edge off if it's not in use anymore, to just kind of scrape out what's in there. But the best solution is to take it to a repair person, simply because if there's something lodged in there, like a bit of gunk, like just a bit of it doesn't even have to be fabric. Fabric usually falls out quite easily. It could be dust or particles you've picked up. Then knowing how deep it is actually next to impossible. So bringing it to a person who actually has the right tools to get it out is your best bet.
And, of course, the problem is by shoving the cable in to recharge it, if there is something in there, you just keep pushing it in further and further and further, so it will get to the stage, if there is a foreign body in there, or gunk, where it won't charge because the two things won't connect. So your advice is the best advice. Rather than do it yourself, take it to a professional. It won't cost a lot of money, if in fact it costs anything. I mean, I suppose if you've got Apple products and you take it to the Apple store, you'll have to make an appointment, but one would assume there'd be no charge for something that takes literally a couple of seconds to do.
It's probably under warranty. If you have an iPhone and an iPad, take it to a Genius Bar. Someone can do it in the space of 5 minutes. Honestly, I actually have an iPhone exactly like that, and on loan from Apple, because all our review products are on loan. And when I send it back, that's the first thing I'm going to be telling them, is that during the stages, something got stuck in there and I haven't had the time to get it cleaned. It happens to everyone, to be honest. If you've got an iPhone from the past 5 years, you can probably still charge your device using wireless charging, even if the gunk is still in that port. But yeah, I totally understand. It does affect a lot of devices. And much like how we go to a professional to get our ears cleaned properly, go to a professional to get your phone ports cleaned. There's just not many ways around that.
Aaron says, I have a Samsung Smart TV and the Stan app keeps playing up on the Samsung Smart TV. And the only way, he said, to get it to work is to delete the app and reload the app. And he says, it's happened to me quite a lot of times in the last couple of weeks. What can I do?
Not much, unfortunately. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Tizen OS, which is Samsung's operating system, it sounds less like a problem with Tizen and more a problem with the Stan's team, I guess, building the Tizen app. The better, if you rely on Stan religiously and you can't get around that, I would suggest grabbing, if you still can, a Google Chromecast or a different type of smart TV system instead of using the smart TV in your the smart TV operating system in your smart TV. Sometimes smart TVs are great, the operating systems are fantastic, and the apps work with them. They don't always work religiously or reliably. The only other solution I would have, and this is frustrating and I apologize for making it as an idea, is to completely reset your TV back to factory settings and reinstall everything effectively. It could also be something as simple, this is the step I do before it, check your Samsung's TV for updates itself, not just the Stan app, but the TV itself. If there's an incompatibility between the app and the operating system, it's likely to be there. But if that doesn't work, you can try resetting your TV and going again. It's unlikely to fix it because simply it doesn't sound like it's a problem with Tizen, it sounds like it's a problem with the Stan app. I would typically migrate to a new smart TV system if you're relying on Stan a lot.
Okay, so will Stan get enough people complaining about this that they possibly fix it?
Maybe, but complaining to them is a great option, but it means likely that it's still probably about 2 to 4 weeks away, but it's a good bet if you can complain to Nine Network, because they own the Stan system. They can probably have a dev actually look at it. But the simple reality is building an app for multiple platforms is never easy at the best of times. It's whether enough people are using the dedicated app on Tizen for them to actually invest in it. They should be, clearly. They've released it in the first place, but getting an update down the track is entirely dependent on the Stan team, which sucks. This is horrible, to be honest, for the person writing this email. But the reality is there's no fix that will do it. It sounds like it's a password saving issue or some sort of server issue, which to me this sounds like the Stan app. but you need to get Stan to acknowledge that and release a patch. And reporting it as a problem, certainly a step forward, but in terms of fixing it for him in the next 2 weeks, it does sound like possibly going through those steps I said before is the solution.
Okay, I've got a note here. Talk about the EcoVac, these are the robot vacuum cleaners, being hacked. There was an article this week that I came across, and it was written by a journalist who actually wanted to get his robot vacuum cleaner hacked to see if it can be done. And so he got in touch with somebody, and they actually hacked the EcoVac robot vacuum cleaner. And I read the story and thought, my goodness me, for people that have gone out and, you know, had the money to buy these robot vacuum cleaners, these damn things can be hacked, Lee. And my question to you is, how do you know if your robot vacuum cleaner actually has been hacked?
So it's worth pointing out that any device connected to the internet can be hacked. This is similar to the conversation about the Chinese platforms on smart cars, on EVs and whatnot, about how they could be hacked. The reality is anything connected to the internet can be hacked. That's pretty much the requirement for it to be hacked. It's connected to the internet and someone wants access to it. How you would know a vacuum cleaner has been hacked? In this instance, the indication would probably be when you log on to the app, it's not reporting to you what it's doing. So typically how hacks work is that it's a form of bypass. Something is bypassing what you're telling it to do. The EcoVacs and most vacuum cleaners, I'm staring at an EcoVac right now, to be honest, the EcoVacs, when they work, even when they're running on automatic mode, they're still telling you what they're doing. They're telling you that they're roaming the house. They're telling you that they're in a certain part of the house, things like that. If it's been hacked to bypass you, if it's running and operational as opposed to sitting in its stand, if it's roaming your house and doing things, it won't communicate back to the app. So as long as you make sure the app is connected to your device and everything is set up the way it should be, provided it always tells you the information, you've got a good sign. It's unlikely your vacuum will be hacked. Going out and asking someone to hack your vacuum is a very roundabout way to prove that a device can be hacked, that we know can be hacked. As I said, smart devices can be hacked. Security cameras can technically be hacked. We've seen that numerous times in the past. But there has to be usually a valid reason. The only valid reason for breaking into a vacuum cleaner that I can think of is to maybe take advantage of the camera inside to give someone an idea of what the inside of a house looks like. And even then, there are probably better security cameras, or if someone has invested in a robotic vacuum, they've probably got other smart devices in their home that someone else could use to take advantage of if they really wanted to break in. I don't think there's a lot of risk here. It does sound a lot like a security test as opposed to an actual legitimate concern. But if you are concerned about your robotic vacuum being hacked and it's operating randomly, all you have to do is grab the app and see if it's reporting information to you. Because if it is hacked properly, it probably won't do that simply because it's not going to communicate to two people at the same time. It's primarily going to communicate to your app and the EcoVac server. If it gets hacked on the server end, there's no way of knowing legitimately, and that would be an EcoVac data breach that they would have to disclose.
One of your topics today is about scams. You say scams are on the rise as criminals try breaking into your government accounts. So if you've got a MyGov account, you've got to make. Do you have to make sure that your MyGov account is secure?
You shouldn't have to. MyGov accounts come with two-factor pretty much pre-installed. So you usually have to use the extra code. But there are extra things you can do to improve it. There's the code app. There's the MyGov ID account. Both of those are helpful. The reason why this is important, this popped up last week in the news at The Guardian. It also happened about a month and a half ago with me. Someone actually tried breaking into my MyGov account, and I went through the steps to actually go through this process. What is effectively happening is just any email addresses, old email addresses, are effectively being used. You don't even have to have been caught in a data breach. They're just attempting to break in. And the MyGov system automatically, when someone tries to break in several times, it will just basically lock the account. So what is effectively happening is somewhere around 14,000 Australians so far have been affected by this problem. Services Australia doesn't quite know what to do with it beyond lock the accounts, which is the best thing it can do, because there's real damage that hackers can do with this information. They can start rerouting your accounts and your finances and effectively steal your identity. So Services Australia is doing the right thing, but in terms of locking you out, that's it's basically what you're trying to do is keep the scammers out of your account. So MyGov's code generator, making sure you have that app on your device is important. If you can connect your MyGov with MyGov ID, that's another way of doing it. There are actual solutions the government's created that I don't think were designed with this in mind, but are actively useful in protecting your account. And as scammers try to ramp up their ways of ripping us off, because they're going to, it's a $3 billion industry yearly, basically Australians need to be aware that this is happening. And if they do get locked out of their MyGov account, particularly during tax time, which is a known issue for this to ramp up, there are ways to protect ahead of time before it happens.
Okay, I better let you go. Our time is up. We didn't get to all of your topics. Maybe we can cover a couple next week, but it's good to have the listener questions, and thank you, as always, for answering them. So enjoy your long weekend, and we'll catch you next Sunday.
No worries. Happy to help. No pressure.
Thanks,
there at
mate.
All.
Okay, see you. Bye. That's Lee Stark. He has a website. It's picker.com.au, PICKR.com.au. And as I say, if you've got any questions for Lee, tech questions, please send them to us via email during the week, and we'll put them to Lee on a Sunday morning.